Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. And NBC Sports Washington. You want to follow along on the TV side. Presented by Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. It is a Football Monday presented by Chiniga Mios. Visit MIOScareers.com to view open positions and apply today. So we wanted to get into Taylor Heinicke's performance. And we don't know when Fitz is going to return, but if Taylor continues to play like he has really in the last month, you would think that they're going to shift things around because they've lost three out of their last four. He had the poor game against Buffalo, threw a couple picks there. Bounced back against Atlanta. Really good game against Atlanta. Last week against New Orleans, had two picks. And this game, less than 200 yards passing, had the interception, and just didn't do much against a really bad defense.
Yeah, I don't know that I'm just throwing it on Heinicke. I mean, maybe we can.
It's not all his fault, but this is what I would say about Heinicke. In the small sample size, when he had some really good moments, I got to give him credit for the way he played in those moments, but a big sample size, this is what you're going to get.
Right. I think the bigger the sample size becomes, the more flawed.
And I just don't think people should be surprised by it.
No.
I mean, it's not like he's surrounded by superstars everywhere. You know, he's got guys who are backups who are starting because of injuries, but this is what it is. I mean, and you're going to see Fitz when he's healthy, but until then, you got to play the best guy, and they feel like Taylor's the best guy.
I feel like the game plan limited him yesterday. Maybe I'm wrong, but again, I've said it for 5-6 weeks now. Taylor Heinicke's at his best when he uses his legs. He didn't use his legs yesterday. I'd roll him out more. They did it a couple times, but I would roll him out way more. I would try to open up some lanes for him to take off and run, some design runs. I'd throw in some RPOs. When they just make him a purely drop back passer, he's extremely exposed.
Yeah.
Because of the limited arm talent. I think he's a talented kid. I think he's got a huge heart. You could see how much he wants it and how determined. All reports were this week he was pissed off all week. Like, this kid takes losses in the way you want your guys to take losses.
Oh, you
losses.
Can see it on his face.
He desperately wants to win. But I think they limited him game plan-wise yesterday because they tried to – I think they were trying to control the clock. It wasn't just going to be with obvious handoffs, but with short passes. And it just, you know, it didn't work.
I just think his upside is limited. He's becoming exactly what we were saying before the season started. He's a high upside backup, and he's a spot starter. But he's not a guy that you want starting 10, 12, or 14 games. It's just, it's unsustainable. Like, he's going to have a few good stretches, and he's going to play well at times, but he's also going to be exposed at times.
I think everybody understands that at this point. Like I said, I thought it would take four games to figure it out. It took me five. Maybe four, maybe three and a half. But either way, that wasn't the plan. Remember, this wasn't the plan. The plan was Fitz. Sure. We're supposed to have a guy who, when you looked at QBR, for example, in one rating in the last 2 years, one of the top five guys in the league. He's had an up and down career, no doubt, no question about it. But they were hoping they were getting a veteran guy playing some of the best football of his career, and he played what, a quarter? Not even a quarter.
Less than a quarter.
Less than a quarter.
Yeah. So I mean, That was never the plan, to go with Taylor.
Right.
They gave Fitz the job, and they've been kind of chasing their tail from the beginning.
And to answer your question, JP, you're going to see Fitz when he's healthy.
I think you will.
I don't know if that's in week eight,
unless there's
week nine, but at some point.
Massive turnaround by Heineke in the next few weeks.
But look, we've had Coach Rivera on the show now
but he hasn't
throughout
been
the
dreadful.
Season. No,
he's
he hasn't been dreadful.
Been
but
whatever.
Coach Rivera has dropped PFF grades twice on this show.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to chime in on Heineke and Fitz and what you want to see moving forward, 800-636-1067.
He hasn't
but the reality is, Taylor Heineke's PFF grade right now is 32nd in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we question those. If you want to go to the more traditional ratings, quarterback rating, he's 24th. If you want to go to QBR, he's 24th. He's towards the bottom of the league in all of these analytics.
But I think people thought like 24th would be like the 20. I think people thought that was kind of his range. I think so.
Yeah,
that's about
agree.
Where I thought maybe he would be. No one thought he was a top 10 quarterback.
And the plan was if he's 24th or a little bit better, then the defense is what is going to carry the team. And that's been a catastrophic failure every single week.
Yeah. I mean, if the defense was holding teams to 17 a game,
right.
17 to 20 a game, okay, well, he's going to make enough plays to probably get you in that range. But he can't hold up against teams that are going to put up 35.
And look, no. He doesn't have a great complement of receivers.
Sure.
It's understood.
No, he doesn't have a starting tight end. He doesn't have his true number two.
Yeah, I mean, Samuel's not there, which you guys all talked about. Is it the guy that they were counting on? Fitz is not there. The offense, well, they got two backups on the offensive line, mm-hmm. even though they're holding up
on the right
decently.
Side, yeah.
I mean, you know, they're banged up.
He wasn't even sacked yesterday.
Backup tight
yeah,
end.
Yeah, but he was pressured. He was pressured a little bit. He was.
It's a pathetic defense, the Chiefs.
Yeah, but they were getting
they
to
were
him
pathetic.
A little bit.
They were pathetic. They were pathetic, but they did pressure
he
him.
He squeezed out of a couple because he was just
they
he's
hit
pretty
him
good
on
at
one or two, remember?
Yeah.
He barely
okay,
got
he
it out.
He dropped back 40 times. You're going to get hit
well,
a couple times.
The offense is a
good I'm
a,
just saying. It
it's
wasn't
a mess.
There.
It's not as bad as the defense. The offense is a mess right now because you're not going to win by checking the ball down to J.D. McKissick and settling for field goals. You're just not. You're
I think
not
you hit the nail on the head earlier when you said it felt like an Alex Smith game. It did.
I think
they
that
were
was
throwing
game
a lot
plan,
of,
though.
They were.
That was
I think
game
you're
plan.
Right. I think that, you know, when Ron said he just wants him to be that game manager, that was yesterday.
That was a game manager game.
It was a game manager game, and he I don't think
more.
They like to see him run because
they're afraid he's going to get hurt.
He's exposed.
But he has to run and just slide. I think he has found, at times, that happy medium.
They're not going to design run plays for him, I don't think. I know you want to see
haven't.
It.
I know they haven't. So I don't disagree with
and
you.
And that's the reason.
I don't disagree with you, but I think they should put in a couple. And I think that he needs to be aggressive when the pocket collapses. If his first timing reads aren't there, that's when he gets in trouble. Now, yesterday he didn't throw any turnover-worthy balls, according to Pro Football Focus, but he also didn't throw any big time.
Well, he had a turnover.
Yeah, but he didn't have any big time.
That was
throws
I've never
either.
Seen a pick like that ever.
Like off the helmet.
Yeah, I mean, I've never seen that.
That was like a David Tyree interception.
At 2-4, unleash him. If he gets hurt, so what? The season's going off the rails anyway. It's already happening.
But I think unleashing him means he's got to use his legs.
I agree.
That's what makes him special.
Do it.
Let
him run for 50 or 60 yards.
Because I don't think they want to get down to their third quarterback. They just
well,
don't want to.
He just has to slide. You know, and protect himself and just, and, you know, most we churn up and chew up and spit out running backs all the time. We just, you know, those guys last 2 years and we move on to the next one.
But Stu Valdez has been draft nothing but quarterbacks.
Oh, yeah.
And
genius is often mocked.
I'm with right. you. Take all, you know what? They've been so bad at quarterback for so long. Take all the bites of the apple that you want. If you have 7 picks in the next draft, you want to pick 3 or 4 quarterbacks, have at it.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
It's not as crazy as
it's
used
not
to
yeah,
be.
It, trust me, there's a lot of GMs and smart people that are coming around to my side.
For this
that means
team,
hold on. If you draft
crazy.
Quarterbacks in the first 4 rounds, you got to pay them all. And how many are you going to make the
first
team?
Four, draft one in the first, one in the third, one in the fourth, one in the fifth.
No.
You pay them by their
there
slot.
There aren't that many good
that's
ones.
That's so dumb.
Here's Coach Rivera after the game talking about Heineke's performance.
I thought Taylor had his opportunities to make some plays, and he did, and he missed some. You know, it'll be one of those things we get a chance to really take a good look at the tape and, you know, see where he can continue to grow and get better at.
I don't need to look at the tape.
Was that maybe more the game plan, or was that more just taking what was given?
Well, it was trying to take what was being given more than anything else. I mean, again, the game plan just calls for you to go through your progression. And, you know, like I said, we'll take a look. We'll see, maybe did he go through some of them too quick or did he stay on one guy too long? You know, those are things that, again, he's going to continue to learn and get better with.
You know what, from the Packers, I say, throw it to J.D. McKissic 20 times. Go right ahead, because that's not going to beat us. Hmm. Have fun picking up 6 yards. By the way, his average yards per attempt yesterday, 4.7.
Yeah. Taylor Heineke. Again, took a couple deep shots.
That's game plan.
Well, then that, you
that's
know what?
Game
that,
plan.
That game plan stinks.
Or yes. Choices.
Personally.
I mean, Ron Rivera saying their progressions. They didn't just have five receivers out in a pattern running 5-yard routes.
No, it's pretty much game plan. They took a couple shots, but largely they were just going to do short passing and trying to control the clock. That's right. What they were obviously trying to do.
Let's hear from the Heineke Hive.
All right, let's go to Dominic in Richmond. What's up, Dominic?
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm not the Heineke Hive today.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, like, what kind of a pea shooter do you have to have where a guy intercepts your ball 5 yards away from you?
Well, he's just trying he's trying to lob it over the defensive line.
That guy made a great play.
I mean, that was a weird...
The
guy made a great play. Give him credit.
The odds of that happening are probably 2%.
I mean, you know how much bigger those guys are than Taylor? I'm surprised he even saw the receiver.
Can I get a second point in before hung up on?
Go ahead.
So about the offenses, I noticed a lot. Nobody's really making them play. Like, De'Ami Brown has a chance to score a touchdown and doesn't make a play. Our receivers in the middle of the third quarter are going out of bounds instead of cutting inside, you know, like the Chiefs receivers. And the one touchdown we had, nobody made a play. Two guys are wide open because of a great scheme and play call by Scott Turner on that fake screen to the seam route. So it's like, I wish someone could make a play for the guy instead of having to rely on
for McLaurin, who everyone loves, a spectacular kid and a great player, but that drop was a big drop.
Yeah.
You could have sustained that drive, continued, but
you don't usually see that
catchable.
Either.
Yeah, he's a big-time receiver. He's got to make that play.
I can't believe he only had 4 catches because he had 3 pretty quick. Man, he was just a donut in the second half.
All right, we'll come back, take more of your calls at 800-636-1067. What do you make of this offense? And Taylor Heineke, we'll be right back. They drafted Jamin Davis, first-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
They brought in William Jackson, third. We understand that. They gave up 500 yards. They're the worst defense in the league, giving up 31 points per game. But they had an opportunity. We thought this might be like a slugfest. A high scoring and over for sure,
like 34-28.
Because they were facing the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And everybody heading into this
Kicks
Sunday
plus 6.5.
Was scoring over 30 points a game against the Chiefs.
I bought into that narrative.
They were giving up, I think, nearly 33 points per game heading into this matchup against the Washington football team. Washington put up 13 points.
Well,
and didn't score a single point in the second half, which is shocking to me.
Yeah. I'm blaming a lot of it on game plan. Now, look, there's a lot of injuries, too. I don't want to be an apologist. But they have a ton of injuries. I mean, a ton.
Yeah, but you still have an opportunity to make plays. And Taylor didn't make plays.
He didn't, but listen, I think Taylor has a lot of flaws. But the only plays they really tried downfield were these grasper, sideline.
But he's the one that makes the choices.
No, I think those are the plays they're drawing up. I think the guy runs the offense they ask him to run. I don't think Taylor is this stubborn guy. I think they had a very limited plan to try to keep Kansas City's offense
off
the
field.
Well,
then that's idiotic because Kansas City's defense is horrible. Try and make some big plays.
I would argue they have a limited plan because they have a limited quarterback.
I think that you're more right.
He's limited.
Well, that's part of why they do that, yeah. Definitely.
But, I mean, also, and we're going to get to the calls here in a second, but can you really expect a backup quarterback to beat Mahomes?
No,
everyone in the country knew, even the starter.
Right.
Assuming Fitz was here, I wrote down, we're losing this
game. Yeah, but I thought everyone might still score 30 points and lose, because I figured the Chiefs were going to definitely score 40 points.
They didn't.
And the only reason they didn't score 40 points is because Patrick Mahomes made one of the worst interceptions I've ever seen. He basically threw a pop-up to the second baseman.
That was buffoonery at the highest level.
Yeah. Okay, and then they were in scoring position when Tyreek Hill drops a perfect ball in his hands.
Mm-hmm.
Give credit to Washington. That's a turnover. Is it a forced turnover? I just think it's a gift.
No.
So, I mean, they could have easily been in the 40s. They put up 500 yards of offense.
I was talking to, I can't remember who it was, during one of the breaks where they said, like, their whole philosophy was bend but don't break on defense.
We were walking
the whole philosophy is, the whole philosophy was bend but don't break, Let them chew up clock, whatever. We'll chew up clock. We'll keep it lower.
But you
scoring.
Still need your quarterback to make plays.
He didn't make plays, admittedly. But I think it was in the game plan sucked.
All right, let's go to the phones. I'm guessing all the people that were high on Heinicke before are already out. Right?
A lot of them.
Yeah, the hive, the activity has...
I mean, some people were talking about long-term down. Contracts.
Well, I mean, that was just a farce.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I think that.
All right, let's go to James in D.C. James, what's up? You're on with the Junks.
What's up, Junks? You know I love you. I call every week. Listen, I was never in the Heinicke camp. I was super ecstatic with the Fitzpatrick signing. And he needs to get back ASAP and healthy. I can't put all this on the defense. I know you guys want to attack the defense every week.
They gave up 500 yards.
Hold up to 10 points. What about the first half?
I mean, it doesn't matter. Over the course of the game, they gave up 500 yards.
You guys let it negate. It's negated by the end result.
They're ranked 32nd.
The defense is bad.
It's
really bad.
They're dead effing last in third down percentage. They're dead last. And points allowed.
We tend to look at results.
They're
in
the worst
games.
Defense in the league, James.
What do you think is going to happen with Fitz? Do you think Fitz is going to change the trajectory of this team this season?
Absolutely.
You do?
Absolutely.
Why?
How? Is he going to all of a sudden convert third downs on defense?
He has a better
defense?
Arm, a better pocket presence. He has the experience. I think our other healthy pieces will be back. You know, Logan Thomas will be back, our right tackle. Curtis Samuel, hopefully. I just think things will turn
How
around.
How is Fitz going to change the fact they gave up 500 yards a week?
Well, he can't help that.
Right.
Unless he's just going to make the offense better.
Unless the offense is keeping the ball away.
He's on the field longer.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're driving down the field. So, you know,
but you're probably not going to see Fitz for another 3 weeks.
Well, we'll ask Coach tomorrow, 8:25.
I'm guessing it's going to be 2 to 3 weeks.
He's not even out on the field, like, throwing.
Yeah, I'm guessing at the earliest it'll be that Tampa Bay Buccaneer game, probably after that.
All right, let's go to Jay in Mitchellville. Jay, what's up? You're on with the Junks.
What's up, fellas? This makes me want to grow some hair just to pull it out with Heinicke, man. This dude, it'll be 3rd and 4, 3rd and 5. He always throws it short of the sticks. I mean, if it's 3rd and 8, he'll throw it down. You know, he'll throw it beyond the sticks. But anything like 3rd and 6, he's throwing it 3 yards. 3rd and 7, he's throwing it 4 yards. I don't know if it's the game plan or if it's him.
Maybe that's a design. They want the guys to get the yak and pick up first downs. I don't know what Scott.
Well, we don't have yak guys. We don't have the personnel for that. We just got a better chance than just throwing it to the sticks.
Do you want to see Fitz?
You know what? And like the previous caller said, maybe having Fitz will help the defense because Fitz will at least throw it to the sticks, and that'll keep the offenses off the field. You know what I mean? The other team's offense off the field, but this is really getting ridiculous, man. This dude is a bum.
All right, Jay. Thanks, buddy.
His quarterback ratings in the last four games.
Now, he'll throw some picks, but Fitz will bomb it downfield. Yeah.
His Heineke's quarterback rating, traditional quarterback rating, last four games, he had an 80 against Buffalo. That was a two-interception game. He did shine against Atlanta, 127, but the last two games, 47.6 and 70.7.
Yeah, I mean, he hadn't been good. Ugh. And here's the other thing about Fitz, though. When he comes back, I mean, he hadn't played since early September. He's going to be rusty. It's going to take him a few weeks, I would think.
Sure.
Yeah, he hadn't played, and he's not going to play for 2 months.
I mean, he looked kind of rusty but in the first quarter.
He did.
It's a lot. It's one quarter, but...
I'm sorry. He doesn't make Kendall Fuller better. He doesn't make William Jackson better.
No.
He doesn't make Jamin Davis better. He doesn't make...
And that's a fundamental problem, because the whole thing about Fitz was, just play average, because the defense is going to carry you.
Right.
You don't have to be a hero and score 30-plus points. Well, it turns out, he does.
Yes.
Or whoever's at the helm of the offense, they do.
The team is fatally flawed.
Because the defense is
not good. You're right.
Cataclysmic. It's so bad.
Why pour all that money into the defense if they're going to perform like this?
I never thought it would.
I wouldn't spend one draft pick on a defensive player in the next draft or two. All offensive players. Offensive linemen, receivers, tight ends,
and that's
quarterbacks.
Fine. But nobody, literally, there's not
that
a
guy
human
I can agree with
on the planet that thought that this defense would be this bad. There's not one human alive.
They certainly didn't think
but
that over there.
But your quarterback,
worse than every expectation.
Your quarterback, according to PFF, is 32nd out of 33.
That's pretty bad. Who's worse?
Yeah, I know.
Who's behind
I think
him?
It's Trevor Lawrence.
Oh,
but you're just, I mean, you're just trying to kill a segment or something. Because it's we all know that Taylor's not the answer. We all know.
Of course,
no
we
one's
going
to sit here.
Okay,
and
but
say
some people
answer.
Wanted to see him play the rest of the season and not Fitz. Maybe Fitz can change.
Well, that's because they
Who
saw
cares?
What he did in a short sample size, and they said, "Oh, he's better than people think."
I'm fine with playing him the whole season. Season shot.
I learned my lesson about the whole play the whole season with Haskins.
Right.
I'll never do that again. Okay, never. It's game by game.
By the way, Justin Fields is rated above Taylor Heineke right now.
And he's been awful.
Yes. Davis Mills is rated higher than Taylor Heineke.
The other thing that pisses me off is this whole, you just got to draft a quarterback. Well, you draft another poopy.
That's surprising that Davis Mills is rated higher. Because he's been awful. Besides the Patriot game, he's been god awful.
You literally have to be struck by God. It's like winning the Powerball. If you get a quarterback, that's how hard it is.
A really good one, yes.
Well, when you have the number 2 pick in the draft, maybe you draft a quarterback when you need one.
Yeah. Oh, but no, they would have drafted the wrong one. They would have drafted Tua.
Tua wasn't bad yesterday.
Tua threw one awful pick. I don't even know what he was looking at. He threw it 20 yards short. I don't even know what he did. But he was really good.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go. Let's go to Scott in Baltimore. Scott wants to stand up for Taylor. Scott, what's up?
Hey, Junks. How have you guys been, man? I haven't had a chance to call in yet this year. I had my little girl now is 14 months. I've been at every game. And you'd be surprised. There's actually a lot of us diehards still cheering. But the mornings have been a little busy. But I've been listening to the show. As my 14-month-old Nancy Jane, she listens to the show too. She loves you guys.
You're giving her a shout out.
Anyway,
congrats.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah, you know, my dad was frustrated on the way home yesterday. I had to talk him off the ledge. He's still 70-something. We still drive down from Baltimore County. But anyway, it's funny. The defense in the first half, you know. I don't want to say look great, but then Herm Edwards say? They are what we thought they were, I mean, in the second half. And then it's almost like they're like Dallas like last year. Remember Dallas defense was supposed to be good? And of course we had to watch that loss. The reason why I bring Dallas up though is, again, Taylor's not going to be some Hall of Famer, but like, to one of these gentlemen's made, it was hard to listen on the radio, I forgot who made the point. But, you know, do some plays for Taylor, like Dak Prescott. I mean, rollouts. He could do rollout bootlegs. I feel like Scott Turner is North Turnering us right now. And I'm, again, I don't know if he's a long answer, but I think if he starts a Chargers game, they might win with a better game plan. I'm not saying they're a great team, but they might be more of a 500 team playing tough competition. But why aren't they helping him
Scott's
all if over he starts, Scott's like he's like manic.
Yeah.
If he starts the Charger game, he played 98% of the Charger game.
Congrats on the 14-month-old.
Yes. I mean, what was he talking about?
All right, let's go.
Do you have a cutoff, by the way? You know how you have a cutoff on Happy New Year?
Yeah.
That you believe once it's like the 7th or 10th, whatever
your
date
is. I'll give it January 15th.
Are you allowed to keep congratulating like a newborn 14 months?
I mean, it's a little past the due date, I would guess. But look, he's a new dad. He's excited.
Let's go to Reed in D.C. Reed, what's
kind
up?
Of a new dad.
Good morning. Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for getting my call. It's funny. I've been trying to call you guys for about 3-4 weeks, working things such as that, but my notes haven't changed. And the reason that I know we're speaking about Heinicke, but I'm going to cover everything. It goes back to coaching. It goes back to coaching. We all know that Heinicke is not a top 10 quarterback. We all know this. I mean, his college record and things such as that. But he has enough athletic ability to be successful, at least in the NFC East, the NFC East with the AL. He has enough potential to have us in a wild card or playoff hunt. But you have to coach according to his limited ability. He's mobile. He's mobile. So you option read, roll out, things such as that.
Yes.
I don't know if you guys are noticing something else with Heinicke. When he gets the ball out of his hands quick,
yes,
he's less likely to make mistakes. When he has to, and I think someone is forcing him to stay in the pocket, he makes mistakes.
This is exactly what I've been saying.
Thanks
for
your call, bro.
These coaches
have been around football since they were 5. Why would they do that?
Because I think they thought they couldn't win a shootout with him, which is a reasonable thought.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, and so we're just going to limit. We're going to try to bend but don't break on defense, and we're just going to try to be conservative on offense, take a few shots because they give up plays. And they took 2 third down grasper shots. And then they did one early in the – I think they did one on first or second down too. But by and large, he was – like those long routes over sort of the middle of the field, they stayed away from those.
Mm-hmm.
And they just dumped it off to McKissick. But it doesn't help either that Antonio Gibson's playing hurt.
Yeah.
They don't have the starting tight end. They don't have Curtis Samuel. They're missing 2 tackles on the offensive line. I'm not trying to make excuses for them. It's a terrible football team. They're 100 times worse than I ever imagined. But they're banged up, and I thought Taylor largely did what they asked him to do yesterday.
It is a football Monday.
And I would like to see him do more.
Football Monday here in the jungle.
I think he's limited.
He is limited.
When you back him up and he's going to drop back 40 times, he's going to make mistakes.
He's totally limited, and he's going to make mistakes. But
and they know that.
But they have to do what he said. They have to roll him out. When the pocket collapses, he has to take off. And he just has to be a big boy and protect himself.
It is a Football Monday here on the Junkies, presented by Chiniga Mayos. Visit MIOScareers.com to view open positions. Apply today. Coming up next, Pete Haley, Washington Football Team Insider from NBC Sports Washington.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Joins us on the StreamYard app. What's up, Pete? Good morning.
Good morning, guys. Yeah, these two eyeballs have seen a lot of, you know, pretty boring football games at that stadium. And I know, Eric, you said you're basically numb watching the whole thing. That's how I felt, too. They're just, that whole second half was just like looking at my watch, waiting for it to be over so we could all get home. It just was an inevitable march to another Washington loss.
How do you feel about Rivera's presser and the way he sounded? It generally doesn't mean anything to me, but he sounded to me like a defeated guy, a guy who's resigned.
I definitely got that sense. Like last week, he felt more fiery and more, you know, we're going to fix this, or today was unacceptable against the Saints. But yesterday was a little more just sighing and shorter answers. But I don't take a ton out of post-game pressers because those happen 15 minutes after the game. He's got a lot going on. He hasn't seen any film. He's trying to process a lot in a short amount of time. So Ron's never really been that engaging or that insightful in post-game press conferences, and that's not a knock on Ron. That's kind of just what those things are. It's more of a formality, and then when he talks today at 12:30, that's when we'll get some better answers out of him, and then we can judge to see how defeated he sounds.
But even then, I mean, for the most part, coaches don't give you anything, right? It's anything, all cliche. Right. Jay was particularly candid, and that would get him in trouble. But that's why that's why we liked him so much. I think Ron, honestly, is like the rest of us. He just looks at the schedule. He knew that they weren't going to win yesterday. He knew it. And he knows they're not going to win next week. And so that's part of the reason why you see some of that resignation. He was dead inside on the sideline, too.
Yeah, dead inside is a really good way to describe things right now. And I agree. Like, at one point, he said, oh, we played a really good mobile quarterback today, and maybe that will provide hope for us next week against another one. And it felt like he didn't even believe that. He was just kind of saying that to add another sentence to the transcript and give reporters a little something. But I just don't know how the psyche is of this team and this coaching staff right now with Rodgers. And then you have Denver, and then you have a bye, but then you got Brady after that. You're already 2-4. The Cowboys are distancing themselves from the rest of the division. I looked at JP and Mitch during the postgame pod about 10 minutes in yesterday, and I just blurted out, what are we here for? What are we going to watch for the next 11 games? This normally happens in like December, but there's no quarterback to care about. This defense just continues to disappoint, and the playoffs feel like a total non-factor. So really positive start here to the hit, but yeah, it's very depressing.
Well, Pete, hopefully we're not going to watch the Alex Smith version 2.0 of the offense, because that's what it looked a lot like when they started checking the ball down to McKissick when Gibson went on the sideline. He was out twice, and the second time he just wasn't coming back. You knew he wasn't going to be back in the game. Are we going to see more of that sort of offense going forward, or do you see any more explosion coming with McLaurin? He's got to be more heavily involved. I can't take 11 games of just check down Charlie. I can't. My brain will explode.
I would love to see the actual game film where the all 22, whatever. I wonder if they were doubling McLaurin for most of that
maybe.
Game.
Maybe.
They probably were.
Yeah. So maybe when maybe when Taylor was doing that, there was nothing open
downfield.
Yeah,
but they should have a secondary guy, or you know what I mean?
I know, but that secondary guy's a rookie.
I don't know. Pete, you could comment on this. I really think that they know. We all know when Taylor presses, you know, he throws those YOLO balls. He tries to get it all back. So they tried to limit it. My theory is they tried to limit it with a conservative game plan, and because they didn't want Taylor to try to play catch up with Mahomes. And that's a reasonable thought. But I think, look, you got to stop protecting this kid. He is what he is. He's kind of a wild man. You got to let him be wild. And if he gets hurt, he gets hurt. That you got to let him do that. Because when if you're relying on Taylor Heinicke to beat you from the pocket, dropping back 40 times, it ain't going to happen.
If you told me that was Kyle Allen playing yesterday, I would have believed you. That looked like a Kyle Allen game plan. Drop back, quick throws, just trying to keep things, just trying to keep possession of the ball and hoping
Alex
you can.
Smith. Yeah. It was a great comparison.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was not Taylor Heineke. And for that, if that was the plan to be conservative and try and just beat the Chiefs in a sleepy type of afternoon game, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me, because you mentioned Taylor's strengths are just letting him loose and you live and die by whatever he produces for you. But that was the worst defense in the NFL. You shouldn't be scared of them. You shouldn't be trying to just dink and dunk against them. That is the time to really let it rip. And Jason, I watched the replay of the game this morning, not the all 22 because it's not up yet, but just the broadcast. And McLaurin, he only had 6 targets, 4 catches for 28. It didn't look like, at least on a lot of those plays, there are a couple deep balls that they tried to get him involved in, and he looked like he was singled up enough. But just 2 straight weeks of kind of duds from Taylor and Terry after they seem to really be connecting against the Falcons and Giants in a couple games before that. But I hear you guys talking about maybe a quarterback change. I know fans are bringing up Kyle Allen's name more. It's a bit like, you know, old man cliche, rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic, because I don't think either one of these quarterbacks is going to save what's going on. But to me, at least Taylor, when he is being creative Taylor and not held back Taylor, he gives you a little bit more of a ceiling. Now, that leads to more disappointing games like a Buffalo game or a Saints game where he's throwing picks, but he at least is a better option with the running around and creativity than Kyle Allen is. But either one doesn't seem like it's going to be a huge swing for this team right now.
By the way, if the game plan is that we're going to rein it in so we lose by less, that's a horrible game plan. I agree 1,000% with your sentiment that this is a terrible defense. You have to go out and attack it. You can't just check it down and, oh, let's be conservative and let's lose by 10 or 12 instead of losing by 20. Who cares?
No, I think we all agree.
So I kind of thought about this. Watching the Browns-Chargers game last week, that was like the future of the NFL. Guys going forward on fourth down all over the place, trusting your quarterbacks, high-flying, 45-42. Yesterday, Ron kicking a field goal on 4th and 5 to make it 10-6, Kansas City. Like, okay, I get you want to cut the lead into the Chiefs and make it a closer ball game. There's still a lot to play, but just there's no real aggressiveness, no going after a win. It's more just protecting themselves and keeping things close. I don't really get it, especially at this point. You're 2-4. Things are drifting. You need something to inject life into this team, and you're not really doing it. So everybody just seems totally down. Ron mentioned they didn't have a lot of confidence last week after the Saints game. I would imagine there's even less confidence around this team this week, and you're going to Lambeau Field against a quarterback who just yelled at an entire city, "I effing own you." That guy's going to effing own this defense in about 7 days, too.
All right, so we've talked about this, like every week. Chase Young did get a sack on the stat sheet. We talk about this defensive line. Now through 6 weeks, what are you hearing from these guys? I'm hearing like a little frustration from Chase, like he's starting to shift the blame on other guys. But the reality is he hasn't been doing anything.
Hold on, he's been doing that all season.
Okay, well, I'm hearing more of it.
Yeah.
I think you're right. There's got to be frustration. I mean, I know we were up in the press box yesterday, and probably halfway through the third quarter, a couple of us were like, hey, Washington's generated some good pressure on Mahomes today. And then I sat back and thought, I'm like, we're praising this defense for generating some good pressure. This was supposed to be the best defensive line in football. This is supposed to be the culmination of like a 3-year draft plan where you're building this group of unstoppable pass rushers, and here we are praising them because they're making Mahomes run around a little bit more. It's nice to see Chase get another sack. He seems to be a little more decisive with his rushing, but as he's sort of peaking, Montez Sweat is disappearing. Jonathan Allen hasn't been heard from a lot, and Daron Payne continues to kind of get close but not quite there, and then Ioannidis was quiet too. So it's almost You get one person rising up, and then the other four kind of decline, and the D-line just isn't clicking. So the whole defensive side of the ball has got to be frustrating. I think the secondary's got to be super pissed off, too, because, yesterday they didn't have any massive coverage busts, but they couldn't tackle anybody when they got those underneath throws. So that unit's got to be really in its head, really unsure of itself. I hope they continue to listen to Jack Del Rio, at least keep things cohesive. But maybe they shouldn't listen to Jack Del Rio because he doesn't seem to be engineering many changes. So, yeah, a lot of questions, not very many answers right
Here's
now.
What will infuriate me is when I look, and I don't know when they might be out now. They weren't out an hour or so ago. But when Pro Football Focus comes out with their grades today, which I love Pro Football Focus.
I know what you're going to say.
What they're going to say is they're going to tell me that the Chase had 9 pressures, right, that Daron Payne had 6, that that all these guys had all these pressures, and yet they only generated like 1 sack or whatever. And they're going to talk about how great those guys did when – it's way more than just beating your guy and then Mahomes runs right past you. Like, you got to make a play.
Mahomes is very good at that, though.
Yeah, he is good. But, I mean, we make everybody look good. You know, Jamin Davis yesterday, I literally think, I swear to God, my hand on a Bible, I believe they played Jamin Davis more yesterday so that we don't pick on him. Because he did make 11 tackles. I remember one of them. Now I'm also old, but in other words, it's not like he's flashing. You know what I mean? So it's, you know, I don't know why last week he only played 13 snaps. This week he played 46 or whatever.
Well,
he did.
We're going to ask Ron that.
I think they're playing him because he's getting tired of the heat.
EB, you may be old, but you remember one tackle he made. I don't remember any of them. And hearing you say he made 11 tackles, like, again, I just
shocking,
watched the game.
Right?
That's surprising to me. Like, did someone make a mistake in the stat sheet? And I kind of buy into your idea of, like, they just wanted to shut us up for a week, because whatever you saw that made you nervous with Jamin Davis and felt like you can only play him 13 snaps, I doubt that he did anything amazing in practice this week that then said, all right, let's give him 33 more plays and get him up to 46. And Ron might say it's the matchup. We wanted less defensive linemen, more speedy players to help deal with Kelsey and whatever. But Jamin, yeah, I'm still waiting on the one wow play. I don't think he has any tackles for loss unless he picked one up yesterday. He hasn't had any pass deflections, any sort of interceptions or forced fumbles or anything. That he's just been a middling to disappointing linebacker, and he's just another one of these offseason acquisitions, these cornerstone players, Jackson III, Curtis, Ryan, Jamin Davis, the two third-rounders. None of them are stepping up at all, and I think we can continue to debate schemes and who's screwing up where in assignments, but it also just comes down to all these players they gave money to or invested in, none of them are delivering right now.
What happened to Kendall Fuller? This is the guy I was supposed to be upset about a few years ago when we traded him to Kansas City. We didn't get enough back.
Wasn't he the number one slot corner? Really,
yeah,
the number one slot corner?
They picked on him 12 times and converted 9 of them, okay? That's unheard of.
It's a good percentage.
The demise of Kendall Fuller is an underrated storyline this year because there's so many other things to talk about. But every single week he has been taken advantage of in the slot and on the outside. And yesterday the guy couldn't make a tackle to save his life. Both he and William Jackson were just flailing around, throwing their shoulders into guys' legs, being just left in the dust. I mean, it's odd to me, and he's really smart, and he's revered for his film work, but he can't cover it all anymore, and it's another just reason why this defense is underperforming. All the 50-50 guys, the guys you kind of hoped could take a step forward and maybe do this, they're going the opposite way, and it's contributing to this 2-4 record.
Mm-hmm. Pete, good stuff as always. Talk to you soon.
Yeah, really fun, optimistic, upbeat chat. Love it, guys.
get used to it.
Thank you, buddy.
So much fun. Thanks.
Thank you, Pete.
All right, coming up next, we're going to get into the coaching. A lot of people are upset with the coaching. We've heard about defensive issues, talking about game plan on the offense. It all started out as in Ron, we trust. Are you losing it for the coaching? 800-636-1067. That's next here in the Junkies.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.